A reading from the 7th chapter of the prophet Isaiah, beginning with verse 10. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for Emmanuel. We commit this time to you. In the name of Christ, amen. I was so wrapped up in the worship that I forgot my mic. But this will do. That is fine. Well, Merry Christmas. My name is Jose Garrigo. I'm the director of TIPS. And we've been experiencing great blessing this year. Lots and lots of students. In fact, we had to open up two new classrooms this semester to accommodate the new people coming. It is when you grow, you know, there are growing pains, and we need more volunteers, obviously, but that's not what I'm here for. This year, I had two teachers sick, and I had to do some share of subbing. When you're the director, you're also a substitute. And that's fine. I love teaching, and I really enjoy, especially what I had to do. I had to sit with the beginners, people from countries as different from China to Mongolia to Iraq or Iran or Taiwan or Vietnam, all together in one classroom and start from zero. And how do you do that? Well, one of the things that I like to teach is the prepositions. Prepositions, I think, they take you a long ways. If you don't know much vocabulary, you can always point to things up or down. If you're in a bus, you can say down, 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 and the bus will stop and they let you out. Or if you are serving food, you can say with or without, and you know, and you're safe. Or when my two-year-old grandson looks at me and tells me, "Abuelo, up," I know what he means, and I carry him up. So that's prepositions. Prepositions are very important, and the message today and the passage that we're reading has to do with God with us. God with us, and that preposition carries a lot of weight. Many religions and many stories of different countries around the world had talked about in different ways of God coming down to earth. And some scholars have said that Christianity is similar to those religions, because our Christmas story is God coming to earth, God with us. But the story of Jesus is definitely different. When we read this first chapter of Matthew, we find out that it's not a fantastic story, but it's engraved in history. And that makes a whole big difference. Jesus comes out of a line of kings, and he's come to be the king and the ruler. Also, in the second part of the passage, Matthew is telling us that he is God, and he is God with us. The author J.R.R. Tolkien says it this way in his essay on fairy stories. The birth of Christ is the eucatastrophe of man's history, the resurrection of the eucatastrophe of the story of the incarnation. This story begins and ends with joy. It has preeminently the inner consistency of reality. So Christ is God with us. And what does that imply? What is the load on this preposition with? What does it mean, God is with us? Well, we could talk about grammar and content for hours, but I'm just going to center into three possible meanings or applications of this preposition, God with us. The first one is that God is among us. God with us means that God comes to be among us, to walk around us. It's the God who was walking with a man and woman in the beginning in creation, and this walk was abruptly stopped. And God is reinstating this walk. And he comes to walk with us and to be with us and to walk in the midst of us. That's Emmanuel. God with us, God among us. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. To all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Thomas asks Jesus, how do we know? How do we know who is the Father? Jesus says to him, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one who comes to the Father except to me, through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. God is among us. Some years ago, I flew to teach a workshop in Lima, Peru. It was a youth workshop, and I taught under a tent, and I had maybe about 100 people. And in the very back, there was this little lady. She was very petite. She was maybe in her 70s, late 60s. She had a long, long ponytail. She looked very, very frail. And she waited until everybody had gone, after I finished, and people line up, and they want to ask you questions. How do you do this? How do you do that? And then she came to talk to me. I was just puzzled. What is this lady doing in a youth workshop? And she told me, Pastor, I really thank you for what you have taught me. I learned so much. I hope I can use this. And I said, ma'am, and why are you in my workshop? And she told me, well, I'm the youth pastor in my church. I said, you are? And she told me, yes. It's just my husband and I, and he does all the, you know, the preaching and teaching and visitation. And I have to pick up the other ministries, and one of them is youth work. I said, oh, that's interesting. So what do you do? And she told me, well, in the afternoons, I prepare a snack in my home, and then I go out into the street. And I walk to the sewage, and I lift up the lid. That's kind of the hardest part. And I call, children, come out, come out. I have a snack for you. And Pastor, all these children come out of the sewage, and I lead them to my home. And they went like, really? You do that? And she told me, well, sometimes I don't find too many children. So in my home, I have a ladder. It's a long ladder. And I walk with my ladder, and I go to the buildings next by, and I put the ladder, and I climb to the roof. Because, you know, Pastor, many of these street children live on the roofs. And I call them, children, come with me. Come with me. I have a snack for you. And I lead them to my home. And I said, lady, sure, there's a lot of people from your church helping you at the point, because I hear these children are very dangerous. And she said, oh, no, Pastor. When they come to my home at the door, I tell them, children, please leave your knives and your chains and your knuckles here at the door and come in. And they just leave everything there. And they come into the house. And then I give them the snack, and I tell them about the love of Jesus, because that's all they need. They need a mom to love them. That's Christ, what Christ has done to live among us. He has come to our sewage. He has climbed to our roofs, and he has called us to live with him. He's walked among us, and he has loved us. God with us. God with us is God among us. But it's more than that, because God with us is that God wants to be in us. He wants to have an intimate relationship with us. The apostle Paul, a follower of Jesus and a believer, he wrote this: I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Hope is so important. This week I was talking to one of our parishioners here, and she was telling me about her daughter who's been diagnosed with massive cancer. But recently there's been a turn into the prognosis and the treatment, and she told me these words right here in the curve: and now there is hope. And with that, we can keep on fighting it. There is hope. Christ in you is the hope of glory. I bought a house, I'll never buy it fully, but it belongs to, well, we live there. Let's put it this way. And it's just a beautiful house. It's a beautiful house. But we are very picky, so we are changing things. And in the front, we have a light that is kind of rusty, and I don't like it. And I was going to change it, but a cold came, and I said, well, I'm not going to suffer over it. It doesn't look so bad, especially at night, because when it's dark and I turn the light on, that lamp looks just perfect. It's just beautiful. And that's Christ in us. When we have Jesus in us, no matter how rusty we are, and let me tell you, we're no younger this year than we were the year before. No matter how rusty we get, when that light is shining inside us, then nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. This passage, it tells us two times about the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit causes Jesus to be born. And Luke tells us more, even more. The Holy Spirit is the one sent by God to birth Jesus within us. Is Jesus born within you? That's the true Christmas. Has Jesus been born inside of you? And if you have not received Jesus, you have not asked him to come to live within you, within your heart. We're going to have a time afterwards, but start grappling with that and wrestling with it. God among us, God within us, but God didn't go through all this trouble just because. So we could talk about him, so we could decorate our churches, so we could buy each other presents. He did all that because he is for us. Did you know God is crazy about you? God is crazy about you. He's obsessed in loving us, and he won't let us go. That's the way he loves us. God loves us tremendously. I remember my first Christmas here in the U.S. I had left everything behind. Lots of friends and family and my identity, everything behind. And I was received by a wonderful family. They were not Christian, but they were great to me. They were loving. And on Christmas Eve, they prepared a wonderful meal at 6. We ate at 6. In our country, we eat at 10. We ate at 6. And then by 8, they had put on their pajamas, and they were already going to bed. Merry Christmas, good night. And then I was left alone in front of a TV that was talking to me, something that I didn't understand. It was just a very lonely Christmas. I remember I was in New Jersey. I bundled up. I went out into the snow and just walked. And in that silence, I could only hear the crunch of my feet on the snow. And I started weeping. I said, this is Christmas. I miss my friends. I miss the place and the singing and the fun we had until 3 or 4 in the morning. I miss my family and sitting around the table. I missed my identity. And in that silence and in that crunch, I knew that God was with me. God was with me. Christmas could be a very lonely time. It was certainly a lonely time for Joseph and Mary. They had to leave their home. They had to walk on foot for about 300 miles, a long walk for a pregnant woman. They walked and they arrived to a place. It was infested with people trying to make sense of what was going on. Lots of military around. And they had to find a place to deliver a baby in a condition that it was less than desirable. And they did. And they made it. And then they tried to make ends meet, and they got their little home. And when they seemed to be settled, they had to pick up and migrate in the middle of the night again to an enemy country and live there as immigrants. Difficult times. But they made it. And they came back, and they tried to come back to their home, but it was not safe. and they could not go back to the home they had left, and they have to move to another place, and they had to start all over. And they did it. And you know why they did it? Maybe you think because they were protecting Jesus. But maybe it was the other way around. It was Jesus that was protecting them. Jesus was their safe passage through all this trouble because they were carrying Jesus with them. Are you carrying Jesus with you through this Christmas? God is crazy about you. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. God with us, God among us, God within us, and God for us. We're going to hear a song now. And if you want to come and meet with God right here in the railing, you can stand, you can kneel. We'll be here to pray with you a quick prayer. Meet with God today. He's gone through all this trouble for you. He's crazy about you. Don't miss him. Don't miss him this Christmas.
A song.